We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
When they get together, something's going to happen in here tonight. I said something is going to happen in here tonight. Let's go to Genesis 22. I read it out the King James Version. You can follow along whatever version you read. I use King James because I'm old. We'll begin reading about the third verse. Let's read it the second verse because it's got something in it I want. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young man, to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Remain standing. I want the privilege of praying with you. My subject tonight is, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Let's pray while we're standing. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to call upon your name and know that you hear us. Bless us as we break the bread of life. Let it be multiplied like two fish and five loaves of bread, that we will have excess to leave with, to go to work tomorrow with, to raise our children with, to encourage others with. Release a spirit of wisdom in this house and let it overwhelm us tonight. Let goodness and mercy overtake us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and I spent my early childhood in the Baptist church, and then got into an old-fashioned, down-the-home Pentecostal church. My mother was Baptist, my father was Methodist, so that makes me Baptist Pentecostal. I've been in church almost all of my life. If you call a hymn, I can tell you what the hymn number was in the standard hymn. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things come and go, and there's all kinds of people, you know, who worship God all kinds of different ways. I'm eclectic and diverse, and I know how to flow into different settings because I've been a lot of different places and seen a lot of things. There's two different major groups of believers. There's the kinds of people who go to church for the aesthetics and for the beauty and for the aroma and the atmosphere and the liturgical order of service. They don't necessarily really feel like that when they talk to God that he hears or that he intervenes, but they get some solace and some sanctity from just being in a spiritual atmosphere. The atmosphere takes control of the experience, and they come in just to behold the splendor of the house of the Lord. They pray and talk to God, but they don't really believe or think that God intervenes in their affairs. They just see him as a sovereign power and must come to him somewhat like people go to therapists to lay down on the couch and to get the benefit of the cathartic experience of releasing how you feel. Just to talk about how you feel and what you've been through. They don't necessarily think that God would open his mouth and clear his throat and speak. They do all the talking. They have a monologue with God. They do all the talking, and their God does all the listening and never interrupts them. It is a one-way conversation. On the other extreme, there are those folks that I run into in life at the grocery store, at the market, at the mall, and I'm telling you, God just talks to them all the time. He told them where to park. He told them to get some popcorn before they went in the movies. He told them they was going to run into you. They got a word for you. They got a word for everything. They tell them when to buy a couch and when to buy. I know y'all don't have anybody down here like that, but there are some people back in Dallas. I mean, God just talks to them all the time about everything imaginable. God just talks to them all the time. Somewhere between the extreme silence of one parameter and the bodacious ongoing vernacular that spews out of the mouth like diarrhea on the other extreme, somewhere in the middle is a balance. And we must talk about it, because it is not so important what we say to God as it is what God says to us. We spend a whole lot of time talking about speaking to God and speaking in tongues and speaking in all kinds of ways. But let me tell you something. Most people who have a speaking problem, generally they have a speaking problem because they have a hearing problem. If you can't hear right, you can't speak right. Maybe we ought not focus so much on what we have to say to God and focus more on what God has to say to us. After all, the book of Revelation did not say, he that have a mouth, let him talk. It said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But we've had no practice learning how to hear from God. We don't know exactly what to expect. What does his voice sound like? Is he rambunctious and have a big bass drum voice like me? Or does he talk high and light? What does he talk like? And so we're listening for something and we don't exactly know what it is. The book of Hebrews says that we have another set of senses that have not been exercised. Not our natural ear or mouth or eyes or tongue. We've got a whole nother set of senses that the Bible says that are only exercised by reason of use. The Bible talks about having an inner ear. In fact, it calls it a circumcised ear. It is not the ear by which you are listening at me. It is the ear of the soul. It is what Elijah called the still small voice. It is the kind of feeling, the unction, my mother would call it the whatchamacallit, my grandmother would call it the thingamajig, that you get sometimes that says, don't go in there, that says just a foreboding that comes in your spirit, or something says, be careful, or something says, be quiet, that inner voice speaking. Sometimes I think there's so much noise around us that we cannot hear God. And how can we walk with a God that we cannot hear? We must hear from him. He's our navigational system. He directs us. I've been in Dallas. I grew up in West Virginia. I've been in Dallas for almost 15 years, and I still, don't tell anybody, I still use a navigational system. And it's only bad when I'm on the telephone and they know I'm in Dallas and she says, go down three blocks and turn it. I cut her down right quick. I don't want nobody to know that I've been there that long and I still can't get around. But she leads and speaks and gives the voice. The way the navigational system operates in the car, that's the way God wants to operate in your life. What I love about my system is, even when you do something dumb and make a wrong turn, it recalibrates and says, turn around, make a U-turn, and go back. Sometimes we need God to tell us when we've made a wrong turn and how to make a U-turn and get back on track and go where we need to go. But how can he talk to us when the first thing we do is grab the telephone and we start talking to all kinds of people about what we're going through and what's happening in our lives and what's going on with our children and what's going on with our marriage, and we're watching TV and we're listening to that music and we got all kinds of God stuff going on, people singing about God, talking about God, preaching about God, and all the while God is saying, if you cut all that stuff off for a minute, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to speak to you. I want to show you how to get through this season in your life, this moment in your destiny, this present danger that you face. He said, I can navigate you through it just like that. If you could hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, you wouldn't fear anybody. You wouldn't fear any affliction. You wouldn't fear any circumstance. After all, if God be for you, who? Somebody try that with me. Say, who? Oh, that was pretty good. Try it again. Say, who? You got to have that kind of audacious kind of faith that when the enemies come up against you, you ought to look at them and say, who? If God be for you, who can be against us? Since Abraham then is God's friend, he now invites him into an experience. And there's so much about Genesis 22. I would like to say you could get lost in Genesis 22. It is a reflection of Christ going to the Calvary's cross. It is an Old Testament foreshadowing of Calvary's deliverance. It happens in the same ridge of mountains. It's full of metaphors and similes that point us to the bloody side of the Savior. I will avoid them tonight, meticulously avoid them, to point to another issue that is equally as important but seldom mentioned, if you will allow. For God says, Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son. Listen at that language hinting to Christ being God's only son. Take now thy son, thine only son, and take him to a mountain I will tell thee of. Now this is a problem I have with God. I am a person who likes details. If you're going to give me directions, don't give me them country directions. Well, go down yonder piece, and when you get down yonder piece, and you go over to Meadowbrook and cross over the side of the road over there, just down the road a little bit. When you go on a little bit and turn around the corner there, you just turn left anywhere about up in there. You'll turn. I don't like that kind of stuff. I like specific stuff. You're going to pass three red lights. When you get to the third red light, turn left. You will pass between the Dairy Queen and Kmart. Go down five blocks and make a left. Give it to me straight. But the problem with God is that God is not in the business of giving it to you straight. He doesn't give you details. He doesn't give you anything to go by, because after all, it was him that said we should walk by faith and not by sight. And if you have too many facts, you don't have enough faith. So God says to this man who's been waiting all of his life for a child, and he finally got it. And God said, now take him to a place somewhere over yonder that you'll know when you get there. And then I'm going to tell you what to do with it. Ooh, I don't like this. Being a man and a husband, it's kind of hard to come home to your wife, because women are big on details too. Now, you know, you all are showing up in the details. You all are the people who come home from work and give us too much information. You know, the traffic was absolutely terrible, and I had to stop by 7-Eleven. It was so crowded in there, I ran into Helen. You know, Helen's mama is sick, and I got to talk to Helen's mama, and I thought to myself, you know, I went down there, and I had to get some green beans, and Helen kept me there for 25 minutes. I didn't ask you that. I just want to know what's for dinner. Just... Can you imagine Mr. Abraham going home to Miss Abraham to say, baby, you know that baby that you waited all your life to have and you didn't get pregnant till your knees was wrinkled and you know, and you finally pushed out him, I'm gonna take the kid with me and we're going somewhere and I'm gonna offer him up as a burnt offering and don't feel bad. No, honey, I'm not crazy. I mean, this is a real hard sell. And the least God could do was give you a bunch of details. But anytime God wants you to do something important for him, he doesn't give you details because God will use not only the destination, but the journey to train you how to hear his voice. We pray wrong. We're always praying about where we're trying to go. But really, the experience with God is not on where you're trying to go. It's what you learn while you're trying to get there. Can I get a witness in here tonight? I wouldn't take anything for the things I learned along the way. God says, take now thy son, thine only son, and he says, take him to a place that I will tell thee of. He is using the test to train Abraham's ear to hear his voice under pressure. God may be using your test to train your ear to hear his voice under pressure. And you say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. And Lord, I don't know where we're going to stay when we get there. Lord. And he said, just walk with me. Just walk with me. Just walk with me. I have ordered your steps. I have determined your way. And when you get there, the provision will be made for the next step. Step by step by step. By step. Glory to God. Somebody stomp your foot. The Lord brought you here tonight because you're about to take another step. You're about to take another step. He may not be big on details, but he is committed to get you through the process. And if you have the courage tonight to take a step into the unknown, God has the power to perform the impossible. Somebody give him a praise right about there. So Abraham is leading. He's got his son with him, and he's got his servants with him. And they saddled up some asses and stuff, and they probably got some ham sandwiches and some peanut butter and a couple of happy meals for the kids, you know. And, you know, I'm fixing, embellish it a little bit, make it exciting, bring a little drama to it. And they're following him, and they're saying, and there's nothing as hard as leading people who are asking you questions for which you have no answer. Because when you're a leader, you're supposed to know everything. And it's just great pressure on you to have a plan and a 10-year strategy and we're going to do this in 2 years and then we're in 6 months we're going to do that. You know, people have all kinds of plans. If you want to make God laugh, tell him what you plan. I mean, just be a spiritual comedian and get down on your knees tonight and tell him all the stuff you plan and watch him just start going. Doesn't care what you plan. He didn't settle the world on what you plan. He didn't cause the cosmos to spin on what you plan. He didn't cause the galaxies to operate around what you think. God had a strategy before he laid down the foundations of the world. Forever and forever, his word is settled in heaven. God already has the end determined before the first step was ever made. You're discovering what he's able to do. He's not discovering what he's able to do. He knew he was God before there was anybody there to tell him he was God. He knew he was able. He knew he was able before there was anybody there to tell him he was able. He knew he was a healer before the first sickness was ever made. He knew he was a provider before the first problem ever stuck its ugly head up. He was God all by himself. Oh my God. Somebody take about 10 seconds and give him a crazy praise in this place. So it says to CEO, manager, potentate, chief apostle, senior pastor, Abraham, where are we going? I don't exactly know. Wouldn't that be a hard staff meeting? I don't exactly know where we're going, because he's teaching me to listen. And he said he would tell me while I walk. And that's what I came to tell you tonight, that God will tell you while you walk. You've been praying, asking God for details. And God says, just start walking. And while you are walking with me, I will fill you in on what I want you to do. And so I want you to walk with your feet and listen in your heart. And before you take the next step, I'll give you the next command. And when you need to do something else, I'll give you the next command. And until I tell you something else to do, do what I told you before. And when I want to tell you to turn, you see, my navigational system doesn't speak anymore until it's time to take a turn. And sometimes, because I don't know where I'm going, I'm riding along trying, I say, would you say something? Just say something cool like, you're doing good. You know, go ahead. Come on down the road. Put the pedal to the metal and let it rip. Girl, don't say nothing till you're about to make a turn. Can you endure the silence of walking out your faith before a God who does not always speak to your insecurities? Sometimes God says nothing at moments of tremendous insecurity. He does not talk just to make you feel good. He will speak to you at pivotal moments in your life. Oh, I should tell you, your pastor is the nation's smiler. I'm the nation's sweater. That's why he had to smile, because I had the sweat covered. I'm going to send you a towel, though, just as a souvenir, brother, just as a souvenir. And Abraham is walking, and he's leading. And he's got responsibilities, and he's got pressure, and he's uncertain. And God says, this is the gym I put you in to exercise your ability to hear with your inner ear. It is not comfortable. It is not easy. It is not air conditioned. It is not designed to be cut to the continuity of your vulnerabilities or insecurities. I mean for you to be uncertain. I mean for your heart to be beating fast. I mean for you to have to trust me and be unstable. I mean to take you out where your friends cannot help you, where your support systems are not in place. I will move you away from your backup and your boys and your friends, because I want you to have an experience with me. Their voice is too loud in your ear. I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. My God, I got you by yourself. I've been waiting 10 years to get you by yourself. Now I want to show you that it was me that took care of you all the way. It was me that blessed you. It was me that fed you. It was me that provided for you. It was me that took care of you. It was me all the time. And he says, he's trying to figure out where he's going, and he's walking, and he's walking along, and he's walking. Where are we going? I don't know, man. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Be quiet. Be quiet. And the Bible said when he was yet 3 days off, he looked up and saw the place afar off. He said, that's it right there. How do you know? I don't know, but I know. I don't know, but I know. I know it with my knower, and I don't know how my knower knows, but my knower knows that, man, that is the place right there. That is the woman I'm supposed to marry. That is the job I'm supposed to have. That is the career move I'm supposed to take. That is the place I'm supposed to build that house. That is the place I'm supposed to go. I don't know how to tell you that I know what I know, but I know that I know that I know it in my knower, in my spirit, in my heart. I know it. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they shall be called the sons of God. Oh my God, it's some sons and daughters of God in this house. Women do this all the time when they go shopping. They go in the mall, they go in the store, and the sales clerk comes up to you and says, yes, ma'am, may I help you? And you tell her politely, because you're a Christian, you say, I'm just looking, which means go away. But she doesn't get it. So she says, you know, what size do you wear? I told you, I'm just looking. You know, and she says, we got this. It just came in from Paris. What are you looking for? And you say, I don't know, but I'll know it when I... I will know it when I see it. You told your daughter that boyfriend was not the one. You don't know which one is the one, but you know which one is... Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. You can't prove it. You can't explain it, that you don't have anything against him, but you just know that you know that you know that that boy is bad. You better, you. That's the way God wants to speak to you in your spirit. And he sets up calamities. Check this out. He sets up calamities as opportunities to train you in the gymnasia of developing your inner ear to hear him in the crisis. The crisis is just a test. It's not a problem. It's not an issue. It's a gym. It's a training center. It's a workout room. You think the problem is a problem? God just gave you the problem so you will learn how to trust him in dark places. My God, I feel like I'm talking to somebody tonight. I don't even know who it is.